يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We seek refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils within ourselves and from the effect of our ill actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, nobody can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leads astray, nobody can guide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, O you who believe, Taqullah, have taqwa of Allah. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Say a straight and upright word. يُصْلَحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Allah will straighten out your actions. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And He will forgive your bad deeds. وَمَنْ يُطِعَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And whoever follows Allah and His Messenger, verily he has attained great success. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that path, inshaAllah. Now today I was going to talk about Umar ibn Khattab and the first appearance of a fitna. And fitna, just so we know what fitna is a tribulation or a test. And the Arabic root word of fitna is where they used to test metals. So when you test metals, when you're testing for gold and you want to find out is it 9 carats or 24 carats, and removing the impurities from it, that's a fitna. Fitna is to test gold or test metal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us fitna. He gives us tribulations and tests to test our iman. Because it's not going to come easy. We're going to have tests and tribulations in our lives. But Umar ibn Khattab was known to be, he was a bear. And the reason he was called a bear for the fitna, he was holding back the fitna on the ummah. And for Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman, he was one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallam. And Muhammad sallam, it was said that he entrusted him with all of the secrets. He said, so-and-so is a munafiq, so-and-so is a kafir. Muhammad sallam told Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman everything. He told him what's going to happen, or everything. And Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman took it upon himself not to share this with anyone. And it was to the degree that Umar ibn Khattab knew the secret. He knew Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman had the secrets. So he used to go to him, أنشدك بالله أحلفك بالله. Please tell me, did Rasulullah send any من المنافقين? Did he call me a munafiq? Umar ibn Khattab, the great Umar ibn Khattab, he was scared that he could be a munafiq. He was scared. And that's why the scholars say, من آمن نفسه من النفاق فهو منافق. Whoever feels secure of nifaq is a munafiq. Because there's nothing we can be sure of until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Umar ibn Khattab, the great Umar ibn Khattab, who Muhammad said, if the shaitan is walking on the same route as you, the shaitan will take another road. Because he knows that if he whispers anything to him, Umar ibn Khattab will respond in so many good deeds. Shaitan said it's best to leave him as he is. So that's a great man, and see how scared he was of being munafiq. So once Umar ibn Khattab asked Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman, he said, حدثني عن الفتن حدثني حدثني عن الفتن. Tell me about the fitna that's going to happen. The fitna, what tribulations will we face? So the Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman said, fitna for rajul wa mali, fitna for rajul wa zawjati, fitna for rajul. He said the fitna of a man with his wife, if he has trouble, the fitna of a man with his work, the fitna with a man in his business and money, and all of these things. And he said, kafir the hasanat, and being doing good deeds will wipe out these things and it will make it easy for him. But Umar al-Khattab had a bigger vision. He said, la as'aluk an fitna, yani I don't ask you about these small fitnas. As'aluk an al-fitna tamuj bil ummah. I ask you about the fitna which will spread amongst the ummah. Because he had a concern from the ummah. And it was said that his last words when he died, he said, I seek refuge of Allah from the oppressors. I seek refuge of Allah from the oppressors. And he cursed the oppressors. And he was very harsh against the oppressors. Because oppression is something which leads to some opening of fitna. So Umar ibn Khattab, he said, tell me about the fitna. Tamuj bil ummah. What fitna will spread amongst the ummah? So Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman, he said, وَمَا لَكُ وَمَا لِهَذِهِ الْفِتْنَةِ يَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. What do you have to do with these fitna? He said, إِنَّ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهَا بَابٌ مَزْدُودٌ. Verily, between you and this fitna is a bab, a strong gate, a strong door, mazdood, it's closed. And he said, you are holding back the fitna on the ummah. Because Umar ibn Khattab was able to combine three characteristics which are very rare to see combined today. قُوَّة وَرَحْمَة وَعَرْفِ. He was strong and powerful, but at the same time he was Rahim, he had mercy on people, and he was just, he had justice. He never let any injustice happen. People used to travel from the farthest lands to seek justice with Umar ibn Khattab, because they knew there's no injustice with Umar ibn Khattab. Nobody can go astray with Umar ibn Khattab. So Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman said that between you and this fitna is a door, a solid door, which will never be broken. So Umar ibn Khattab said, أَيُقْسِرْ الْبَابَ أَمْ يُفْتَحْ. He said, will this door be opened or will it be smashed? Will it be smashed, broken open, or will it come in bit by bit? And Hudhayfah said, بَيُقْسَرْ. It will be broken. So Umar ibn Khattab started to cry, and people didn't understand, what is the bear? What is the fitna? What are you talking about?
So the, they said that the verb is Umar al-Khattab, and the fitna will just come in all of a sudden, and it, after Umar al-Khattab dies, the fitna will happen. And that's why we saw Uthman ibn Affan was killed through fitna. Umar al-Khattab was killed through a fitna. Ali ibn Battal was killed through a fitna. And it happened. And this is something which Muhammad s.a.w. knew was going to happen. So we understand that this is Qadr Allah, this is Allah's Qadr. But at the same time, we have to have ihtimam bil ummah. Muhammad s.a.w. said in a hadith, من لا يهتم بأمر المؤمنين فليس منهم. Whoever doesn't have a concern from the Muslimin or the Mu'mineen as a whole is not one of them. So we need to have a concern for the Muslim in our homes, starting with ourselves, then in our families, then in our environment, in our land, and in the whole world. Because some people are just, unfortunately, we're living in a selfish age where it's me, myself, and I. So long as I'm earning money, so long as I'm eating well, so long as my family are well, it doesn't matter about the Ummah. The Ummah can go to hell. And some people think like that, unfortunately. So we need to really reform our minds and just think about what's happening. Because I'm sorry to say that there are many problems in the Ummah at the moment. And for us just to think that it's a beautiful life and everything, and the sky is blue and the grass is green, we're living a lie. There are problems and we need to face these problems. We can't just ignore them. They won't go away if we ignore them. We'll find that liberties are taken away and our justice is taken away, and we'll be shocked and we'll say, what happened? We have the opportunity. And Allah has put us in this world as a khalifa for art. Khalifa is someone to sustain the land, to look after the place, to embody the religion of Islam and spread it. And we could talk about the problems that we have here in, we'll start with the UK, because in modern management skills they say your circle of influence and your circle of your desire. So the things that you see around, but what influence do you have? There's no point in wishing to take over this or do this if you don't have an influence to do it. Umar al-Khattab didn't speak like that until he had the influence, until he had the ability. So we have a big problem now, I'm going to list a few of the many problems we have. And we can talk about this for a long time, but our problem isn't to just to talk about the problems. Each of my, every one of us know where they are. But a problem we have is the increase of technology and taqaddum, of progression. And the scholars are not able to understand this. Many scholars are secluded from the progression of the world. So we have things introduced like YouTube and Facebook and internet. And we see so many problems happening. So there's children at home tapping away on their computers. And children are now cleverer than the adults, where they can just minimize the screen and they're doing something which is wrong. And the parents are ignorant. They go, no, oh, mashallah, he's playing a game. But he's not playing a game, he's doing something else. And the dangers of the children is often the pornography and the child pedophilia that's happening. And it's happening. And it's happening. People pretending to be kids and talking and let's go and link up and play football. And all of these things happen. And it's documented in the news. And unfortunately, pedophilia is spreading crazy. And you think, what are these sickness? This is a sickness. And for us to be living amongst these people and for them to look after them on a taxpayer's money, that's something which you say, well, okay, I mean, if that's what you want to do with the system, that's okay. But at the same time, we need to really say this is disgusting. We don't accept this. We don't accept these pedophiles. And we need to look after our children from these things. That's one of the problems. And unfortunately, scholars, they're holding on to tradition, which is good. And we need our scholars to hold on to tradition, but they're not moving with the times. Abu Hanifa was criticized by some people that he was so open-minded, he was moving with the times. And then people used to say, Afara'id and Hasalkara, Afara'id. People used to ask him, what if this happened? And these things were so far-fetched. People said, it's never going to happen, but it did, which is why he used to answer these questions. So we need forward-thinking scholars who can actually address these issues, understand them from the roots, and know how to deal with them. And we have a lot of ilm, that's another thing, we have lots of knowledge. And it's not a loss of knowledge, because Prophet Muhammad told us that Allah will not take the knowledge away, but he will reduce the scholar that you have. So we have now in the UK, how many scholars do we see who give fatwa and give I mean, unfortunately, we have such a difference and separation among the ummah. We can't even unite on when we pray Fajr. The times are different on all of the timetables. We can't unite on the day of Eid. If we can't unite on these things, how can we unite on anything else? The basic fundamental of Islam, which is Salah and Siyam, we can't unite on. So how can we unite on anything else? So we really need to get the scholars to sit together, have a shura, come together and put our differences aside and let's say, this is the basics, let's move forward. We need to go after these things. And another thing is that we have an increased worry, or not worry, but we fuss over making our children engineers and doctors. And that's excellent professions. And doctors and engineers, they're very well respected and it's something we need, because we need to build and move forward. But we need to do it firstly in the name of Islam. Ibn Sina was one of the first, one of the many people and Islamic scholars who studied medicine, and his books are still used till today, Ibn Sina. I've seen Western medical people studying Arabic so they can read the book of Ibn Sina. So we need medicine, we need engineering, but we need to concentrate on the social sciences as well. Psychology, sociology, religious studies, Islamic studies. See how the people who move and shape society aren't engineers. The engineers implement particular rules and they build society. But at the same time, the sociologists and psychologists and religious people, they see patterns. Ibn Khaldun, for example, was someone who was such an overthinker, he was criticized, and people didn't understand, why are you talking about the fall of a society when we are in such great heights? We're in such great glory. But afterwards it happened, exactly what he was saying. If we start to copy other Habarat, if we start to copy other nations and peoples because we see glory in them, that's what's going to cause us to fall. And he documented it very well. And it happened. It happened. A great Islamic society, which we don't see now. We forget that Spain and all of Europe was literally Muslim. And it was the sense of everyone wanted to go to the Islamic universities to study. Whereas now people want to go to Oxford and Cambridge. Yet before Oxford and Cambridge was Al-Azhar. There was the Daytona institution in Tunis. There were many institutions which were known to be the great institutions of Islam. Another great danger, can we just move slightly forward please for the brothers at the back? Another great danger that we have, brothers and sisters, is ignorant fools. And they are called ignorant fools. People who stand up on CNN and on BBC and they claim that they have knowledge for Islam. And they don't have any knowledge for Islam. You see many things they say are wrong, and they're taking things out of context, spreading Islam in a very, very evil light, making it sound like it's spread by the sword, forgetting any idea of Rahmah. These people are very dangerous to Islam. We reject them completely, because all of these characters, Allah A'lam if it's from a tricky hand who's trying to encourage these people to speak. I mean, there are a lot of good people speaking. But at the same time, these people, we need to really push them out of the way and say, no, you don't have authority to speak about Islam. And the scholars need to come up and have a louder voice. Louder voice than these petty little individuals who just have this hatred, full of hate, just trying to spread hatred. We need to get rid of that. And YouTube especially. Don't waste so much time on YouTube looking at these people who are spreading all of these things, hating this, hating the Shia, hating the Salafis, hating the Sufis. All of these things are just a waste of time. And it's the way Shaitan encourages us to fall into these petty little arguments which don't benefit anyone. It just builds a hatred in your heart. And another thing which they do, they point and call names. Shaykh so and so is Munafiq, Shaykh so and so is a Kafir, Shaykh so and so is this. So all of a sudden you have the authority to say who's a Kafir and who's Munafiq. That's not part of our tradition. Scholars never did that. And when they did it amongst each other. Imam Malik and Abu Hanifa, they had difference of opinion. Imam Malik wrote a letter in private to Imam Abu Hanifa, and Abu Hanifa responded to him in private. But because Abu Hanifa loved the etiquette of the writing of the letter, he spread it amongst the people, and we can read these letters today. You can see how beautiful the etiquette was. They weren't shouting and swearing at each other. So that's why Imam Malik, when he wanted to study, his mother said to him, تَعَلَّمْ الْخُلُقْ قَبْلَ الْعَلْمِ. Learn the characteristics, learn the character of Islam before you learn knowledge. Because sometimes your knowledge can delude you and you think you know it all, but then you don't have the characteristics of how to spread the knowledge. So that's why we need to really follow in the footsteps of these great scholars. Another thing we have is these progressive ideologies and movements and ideas which are entering into Islam, which are really causing a problem. And this is really, it's affecting all of us. It's affecting all of us and we can't deny it. Programs like EastEnders and they having homosexual Muslims and trying to show it as being normal. Now this is something which is trying to, and there is a lot of them how they're thinking and what they're doing and what their need is, but we can see that it's diluting the dignity and characteristics of Muslims. So Muslims come along and say, well what harm is there if he's a homosexual Muslim? He's a nice guy, there's nothing wrong with that. So that's happening and people are saying that. There are Muslims who believe that now. So of course, you don't go to say in Islam, and people have to misunderstand this. Homosexuality is something which is obviously, it's forbidden in Islam. But we don't hate the person doing it, we hate the action. We hate the action that they're doing. So we don't hate the character, we hate the book. We don't hate the homosexual, sexual, but the person himself. We ask for their hidayah, we ask for their guidance. But we have to show it like that. People who take EastEnders and all of these modern day soap operas as their guide, we're going to be led astray. So we need to really call the youth from these things. Because the young age, the age of between birth and 14, 15, is when the mind is being moulded. So when their children are exposed to these things, they'll see, they just get confused, and they lose their identity. Another thing that we have is what I call the iPod nation. iPod nation is where there's ice cream. Yesterday I was just with some children and their brothers, about 3 or 4 brothers and sisters, each one is on their PlayStation, their PSP, sitting down, and they don't even talk to each other. Everyone in their little world, one is watching a film, one is playing a game, the other one is listening to music, the other one is chatting online, or whatever they're doing. So everyone's in their little own world. So even in one house, we have the fact that we have breakdown of the household. We have everyone in their bedroom in their own world. So it's causing a breakdown of society. And that's why the father doesn't know the child anymore. And people don't know their family anymore. And people can be in problems, but they don't speak to each other because they're so wound up in their TV program or the internet or their games. So we need to really, sometimes, especially Ramadan is coming very soon. It's just 2 weeks for Ramadan. Really need to turn the TV off in Ramadan and try and just sit down and talk. You'll feel a huge difference when you turn it off. You'll just hear silence and you can actually think. There's another thing which is lots of respect for the elders. And I'll just mention a couple more and that's it, because we need to think of how can we go about solving these problems. But there's a lot of respect for elders. And Muhammad said, "And tell it al-amr to arabatah." There was a hadith when he was saying, when Jibreel asked him, what are the signs of the end of time? And he said that the slave girl will give birth to her master. I'm sure you all know the hadith. The slave girl will give birth to her master. And the scholars derive that from saying, it's exactly where the children lose respect to the elders. And we have to see that, children swearing at the elders, swearing at their parents, don't respect their parents at all. And another interpretation of the hadith is there was a complete flip of society. And Muhammad said this in another hadith, he said, Luqa ibn Luqa. Luqa ibn Luqa is like the lowest, most degraded, stupid human beings will be put up as the greatest. So now we see all of these alcoholics and drug doers and these people who are singing and dancing and acting. I mean, if you see their lifestyles, it's disgusting. But they're put up as the highest, red carpets for them. They live the best lifestyle, they have the most money. But because, subhanAllah, the way the tables have turned, it's amazing. And the scholars who have the knowledge and have the way of bettering people's lives, they're put on the side. SubhanAllah, really, it's amazing how the tables have turned. People and children now want to imitate these rap stars and these rock stars, and they're wearing the cap the same way, they're lowering their trousers the same way, they're wearing the same, if Ronaldo wears a Nike trainer, I'm wearing Nike trainers. If Beckham wears Adidas, I'm wearing Adidas. So we need to really have an identity, and see that our identity is in our Islam, it's not in these materialistic things. I know some scholars who refuse to wear anything of any symbol. And they say, why should I advertise to these companies? They don't pay me. He said, that's un-American. Because American is all about you to get paid for what you do. So why should I advertise to them? I think I'm sufficient enough as a human being to be respected. So why should I have to try and increase? But some scholars, I mean, I'm not saying anything. If you want to wear designer clothes, there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying some scholars say, why should I try and increase my being and sort of appearance by wearing designer clothes? My dignity is in myself. So there are many things that we can talk about. And another issue which is even bigger, which is the drug issue. There are a lot of Muslims that we have to understand are in the streets with drug addicts, and they're becoming drug addicts. Because when children always want to fit in, we always like that, we always like to fit in with people. So when you feel that you're an alien to the rest of the people, you'll start to just go along. If you can't beat them, join them. He might say, astaghfirullah, this is wrong. He'll have a bit of a trouble in the beginning, but then he just goes along with it. So we need to encourage our children and all of our sons and daughters to get together and enjoy them good things. Have patience with those who call upon Allah in the evening and in the morning and the evening. The ghadat wal ashi in the evening where they spend time together. So we really have to say to each other, brothers and sisters, how much longer can we go on like this? Because for the past 100 years or so, Islam has been going downhill. It's been going downhill, and we really need to wake up. I'm talking to myself first and foremost, and to all of us. Really, each individual in this room can make a difference if we come together. Now, we can all go home this weekend and just forget about it, and then come back next Jummah, hear another talk, and forget about it. But that's not what we need. We need people to be proactive. Muhammad al-Salam was proactive. He did things. He didn't wait for things to happen, so he responded. He wasn't reactionary, he was pro-action. So we really need to wake up and really do something, individually and collectively. Wallah, this is advice, and I think it's very important, because what will happen is the same thing that happened to Bani Israel. Bani Israel, as soon as their children started to be slaughtered, they stayed quiet. We're scared. What can we do? And they got worse and worse and worse, and they became the most degraded people. So we really don't want that to happen to us, because bit by bit our liberties are being taken away from us. Issues about the hijab. I mean, now they're saying that the burqa is going to be the niqab, we ban the niqab, and then it will be banned the hijab, and then it will be banned any even modest clothing. So it's going to lead to that. Whether you agree with the niqab or not, it doesn't matter, it's the principle. Everyone should have the freedom to wear what they want. That's the principle. And we need to look at some examples of izzah, because that's what we need. We need to first, before we do anything, have izzah. And izzah isn't pride, izzah is dignity. With pride, be proud of being Muslim and have izzah about it. This is my religion, it's beautiful. If you see it as an evil religion, that's up to you. You're too ignorant to even take the 5 minutes to ask me what Islam is about. That's your problem. We are proud to be Muslim. And Umar ibn Khattab, which is the story I wanted to get to, we won't get into it fully today. Umar ibn Khattab, when he was entering Quds, and Quds is awwal al-qiblatayn, the first direction where the Muslims used to pray was Quds. Wa thalith al-haramayn, the third most holy city in the world for the Muslims. So Umar ibn Khattab was entering Quds, and he had a boy with him. They changed on their animal that they were travelling on, they took it in turns. So when they were entering, it was Umar ibn Khattab's turn to walk. And as he was walking, his clothes were filling with mud. He was a simple man, he didn't worry about being carried on a throne. He was a simple man. So he entered, and then the boy told him, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, get on the camel and let's clean your clothes. We have to have some izzah." So Umar ibn Khattab got angry with him. He said, "How can you say this?" He said, "Nahnu qawm azza Allah bil Islam. We are people, Allah has given us izzah with Islam. فَإِنْ اتَّغَيْنَ الْعَزَةَ فَغَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهِ. And if we look for pride and dignity and glory in anything else but Islam, Allah will degrade us. Allah will degrade us. And that's what happened. That is what's happened, and it's repeated again and again and again throughout history. And it's happening now. Girls in school are having their hijabs pulled off, and no one's saying anything. Our brother not long ago was stabbed, and this was last Ramadan it happened. It's only gone to court now, as we know that the brother was killed in front of the mosque in Tooting. People aren't saying anything. This is injustice. Okay, injustice. What are we doing about it? He's just walking free. The killer's just walking free. Or he's only going to get 2 or 3 years. I don't know. But we need to speak out about these things. We need to have forms and an identity for Muslims. And say this is wrong. If it was someone else, why would they be treated different? So justice has to be equal for everyone. A couple of other examples which I've given and I'll close with this one, inshaAllah. Al-Mu'tasim was the Khalifa of the Muslimin. And there was a woman who was abused in one of the markets in Rome, So somebody abused her and she shouted, "Wa Mu'tasima, what is Mu'tasim going to do about this? Somebody abused me." So what did Mu'tasim do? Because he had izzah. He knew that he could defeat the Roman army. It doesn't mean anything to him. He said, "Min al-Mu'tasim ila kalb al-Rum." From Mu'tasim to the dog of Rome who did this. The dog, he called him a dog and he wasn't scared about it. من معتصم إلى كلب الروم رد إلي المرأة. Bring back this woman to me معززة ومكرمة. معززة means with dignity and مكرمة in ease. I want you to bring her in to me in ease. I don't want her to complain from the journey. And if you don't وإن لم تفعل I will send a jaysh أوله عندك وأسره عندي. I will send an army to you where the beginning will be with you and the end will be with me. Meaning the army, the whole distance between him and Rome. That's right. So they sent her straight away, of course. Mu'tasim, of course, no problem, they send her. So we need to have this izzah, we need to have this dignity, and know that this is Islam. Allah has chosen us as Muslims, and this isn't a reason for us to say, نَحْنُ شَعْبَ اللَّهِ مُخْتَرَ. We are not the chosen people that we just automatically have a green card or a visa into heaven. This isn't the reason. The reason is that we have dignity, that Allah has chosen us to portray His religion, to embody His religion of Islam. We need to really embody this and implement it, inshaAllah. قُولُ قَوْلِهَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحمد لله الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون لو كره المشركون. We thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى who has sent Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم with the true guidance and the true religion so that it may prevail over all other ideology, even though there are those who will hate it and despise it. Now, if we look, I'll just end on this story inshallah, and just what we can do in response to these problems that we have. And we need to come together. It can't be answered in 5 minutes. It's something we need to really have think tanks. People need to get onto forums and think tanks and really sit down and think. and see what we have to offer. Don't wait for someone to call you. You go and say, what do I have to offer in my expertise and my knowledge and my experience that I can do to help the Ummah? Because wallahi, we're going to die. We're all going to die. 100 years from now, all of the people in this room won't be here. They'll be new people. And Allahu A'lam, will we have problems where we're not even allowed to pray? This could happen. It's happened in the past. In the Tatar, the Mongols, when they invaded Iraq, it was said that one woman from the Tatar, used to get 10 men standing, 10 Muslim men standing there, all shivering in fear, and she said, wait where you are while I go and get a sword and kill you. They have no dignity. They have no pride. How can you do this? You're coming into my land and killing me? But it's happening now. Palestine, you see, not long ago, thousands of children being killed. And after they're killed and after they're slaughtered, their houses, there's, I think, 40,000 houses in ruins from just the event which happened last year. That's just one of the many instances. Bosnia and Kosovo, thousands of women raped. Now, we can't say that rape was a shahwa. That was an intention to humiliate the Muslims. And this is only in the 90s. So things are happening again and again and again. But we need to understand that it's not just about having loud voices. The movers and shakers of the world are quiet. They think. They're thinkers. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَلَمْ قَرَ إِلَى الْمَلِئِ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيٍّ لَهُمْ أَفَأَحْسَنَ مَلِكَ نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The people after Moses said to their prophet, let Allah to send us a leader so we can fight in the way of Allah. So what did the Nabi, the prophet say? He said, هَلْ عَتَيْتُ مِنْ كُتُبْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَفَتَيْنَ أَلَا تُقَاتِلُهُمْ قَالُوا وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نُقَاتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He said, will you really fight in Allah's way if you were sent a leader? And I said, وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نُقَاتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Of course, you will fight in Allah's way. وَقَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا. And we've been kicked out of our land. وَأَوْلَادَنَا and our children have been taken as slaves. فَلَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِتَالُ. So they were all hyperactive and, yeah, going on demonstrations. But when لَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِتَالُ, when the qital was assigned for them, تَوَلَّوا. They went astray. They didn't go. إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُمْ. Only but a few of them stayed there. So we know, كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How many small people have been able to overcome big people with the will of Allah? That's what we need to have. So, a few points that we need to just start thinking about. Please, Allah, this is for me and for my children and for your children and for all of us for the future of Islam and for Allah to use us. Allah istabdilna wa la tistabdilna. Oh Allah, choose us. Allah, make us. Yani, use us and don't replace us. Because it will be an embarrassment for us in the day of judgment when we stand there without having any dignity in front of Allah. Because Allah says, al-'izzatu lillah wa lirasulihi wa lilmu'mineen. Al-'izzah, dignity is for Allah, for His Messenger and for the mu'mineen. So I'll just finish on these points, inshaAllah. We need to really teach our children from a young age dignity. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach people dignity. There was a child when he was drinking some water, the sunnah of the Prophet was to give it to the person on his right. There was a child on his right. So he said to him, do you mind, he asked the child, do you mind if I give the water to the older people first? The child said, no, I'm not going to submit to you giving it to the elders above me when it's my right. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tamashik, however you like, he gave it to him. That's what we need to build in children. Don't say, shut up, stay away, be quiet. You don't have to talk. We can't teach our children like that. We need to really bring them up as respectful, dignified human beings. Umar ibn Khattab was walking along the road and he saw a boy, Ibn Zubayr. Ibn Zubayr was standing there and Ibn Zubayr just started to stand there. All the children ran away. They were scared of Umar ibn Khattab because he was such a big man. So Zubayr stood there and Umar ibn Khattab asked him, why didn't you run away? He said, the road is big enough for both of us, and I haven't done anything wrong to walk away, so why should I run away? So Umar ibn Khattab said, this boy will have a great ending, and he did. So we shouldn't degrade our children. Teach them the idea of dignity, and the hub of Islam. Don't tell them that if dignity is over there. We need to really build institutions of teaching and think tanks, like Darul Arqam and Arqam. Muhammad Sallam had an institution in Mecca where he used to sit down and think, talk, and give hadith and give sunnah and all of these things. We need to have that. We need to speak about anything that we see wrong, speak about it, but in the right means. Allah al-Aziz al-Hakim. Allah al-Izzah, He has Aziz, but He has Hikmah. He's knowledgeable about it. He doesn't do it just anyway. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last but not least, Allah, tawakkal ala Allah. We have tawakkal ala Allah. Trust in Allah, like Umm Musa, the mother of Moses, alayhi salam, she put him in the river and she said, tawakkaltu ala Allah, she trusted in Allah. But she, look how it ended. Moses became, he became the leader. So if we have our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from now, inshallah we'll see a difference later, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to really guide us to the path of the salihin, the anbiya, and shuhada, ya Rabbi. اللهم استغفرنا ولا تستغفرنا، اللهم استغفرنا ولا تستغفرنا، اللهم أرنا الحق حق وارزقنا اتباعه، اللهم أرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، اللهم بارك لنا في شهر كريم شعبان وبلغنا رمضان، اللهم بلغنا رمضان يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أجود الأجودين، اللهم ارحمنا واغفر لنا واعف عنا يا أرحم الراحمين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعدكم عليكم تذكرون، اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه يستجب لكم، وذكر الله اكبر والله يعلم ما تسمعون وما تسمعون.